in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion, and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, continuing the lecture, man and his free will. All guilt and karma are only material, existing only within material creation and nowhere else. Nor can they become part of the spirit as such, but can only cling to it. Therefore, it is possible to be washed clean of all guilt. The recognition of this does not upset anything, but only confirms what religion and church say allegorically. Above all, we recognize more and more the great truth which Christ brought to mankind. It is quite natural that a spirit germ, having burdened itself with impurity in the world of matter, cannot return with this burden to the spiritual realm, but must remain in the material world until it has cast off this body and redeemed itself from it. In this process, it must naturally remain in that region to which the weight of its body forces it, depending on the greater or lesser degree of impurity. If it does not succeed in ridding itself off and casting off its burden before the day of judgment, it will not be able to rise in spite of the purity always retained by the spirit germ. This could not unfold itself according to its actual qualities because it had been overlaid with impurity. The impurity holds it down by its weight and draws it along into the dissolution of all that is material. The more conscious a spirit germ becomes in the course of its development, the more does its outer covering take on the nature of its inner qualities, striving either towards what is noble or ignoble, and thus becoming beautiful or ugly. Every deviation it makes forms a knot in the threads dragging behind it, which through the following of many wrong paths and going to and fro become looped and form an intricate network in which the spirit is entangled, either perishing through being held fast or having forcibly to extricate it. The vibrations in which it indulged while nibbling or enjoying during its wandering remain attached to it and drag after it like threads, continually sending their particular radiations to it. If it keeps to the same direction for a long time, then both the threads further back and the new threads can operate with undiminished vigor. Whenever it changes its course, however, the influence of the further vibrations will slowly be weakened by being crushed, for they must first pass through a knot. This hinders them because in making the knot, they joined and fused with neons of quite a different nature. Thus, it goes on and on. As the spirit germ grows, the threads become denser and stronger and form calmer, the ultimate effect of which may become so powerful that it may attach to the spirit this or that propensity, which is finally able to influence its free decisions and give it a direction that can already be estimated in advance. Then the free will has been darkened and can no longer operate as it should. Thus, from the beginning, free will has existed, but later many a will becomes burdened to such an extent that it is strongly influenced in the way already described, and so can no longer act as a free will. The spirit germ, which is developing in this way, more and more must come ever nearer to the earth, for from there the vibrations emanate more strongly. Steering more and more consciously, the spirit germ follows these, or more precisely, lets itself be attracted by them, so that it may enjoy ever increasingly those kinds which its inclination chooses. It wants to pass from nibbling to the real tasting, and finally to enjoying. The reason why the vibrations from the earth are so strong is that something new and powerful has been added: gross material, physical generative power. The latter has the mission and the capacity to set the whole spiritual intuition aglow. It is only through this that the spirit gets the proper connection with material creation, and consequently, you can only then work in it with full vigor. It then embraces all that is requisite to gain complete authority in the material world, to stand firmly in it in every respect, to be able to work in it decisively and forcefully, and to be armed and protected against everything. Hence, the mighty waves of power issuing from man's experiences in his life on earth. It is true, they go only as far as material substance in creation, but they penetrate to the furthest and most delicate regions therein. If there was on earth a human being of spiritually high and noble character, who was therefore able to bring to his fellow men a high spiritual love, he would remain a stranger to them and could not come inwardly near them as long as his generative power was missing. Through this, he would lack a bridge to understanding and to inwardly relating to the experiences of others, thus leaving it. However, at the moment in which this spiritual love enters into a pure union with the generative power and is thereby set aglow, the emanation from this receives an entirely different vitality for all material substance. It becomes more real in the earthly sense and is thereby able to work more completely and understandably upon humanity and upon the whole world of matter. Only then can this emanation be absorbed as well as inwardly sensed and comprehended, bringing into creation the blessing which the spirit of man should bring. There is something mighty about this union. It is the actual purpose, the main purpose of this natural instinct, so immense and yet so mysterious to many, namely that it permits the spiritual to unfold in the world of matter to its fullest working power. Without it, the spiritual will remain too alien to material substance to be able to work in it properly. The purpose of procreation comes only in the second place. The main thing resulting from this union is the swinging upwards of the human being. This gives the human spirit its full powers, its warmth and vitality. With this happening, it is, so to speak, completed. It is at this moment, therefore, that its full responsibility sets in. At this important turning point, the wise justice of God gives man not only the opportunity, but at the same time the natural urge easily to shake off all the karma with which he has burdened his free will up to then. This enables man once more completely to free his will, so as to become a child of God, standing consciously and powerfully in creation, working according to God's will, and ascending in his pure and sublime intuitions to those heights to which he will later be attracted as soon as he has laid aside his physical body. If man does not do this, it is his own fault, for when his generative power sets in, he is first of all stirred by a mighty upward impulse to all that is ideal, beautiful, and pure. This can always be clearly observed with unspoiled youth of both sexes. Hence, the enthusiasms in the years of youth, not to be mistaken for the years of childhood, which are unfortunately often laughed at by adults. This also accounts for the inexplicable, rather melancholy, but nonetheless serious intuitions in these years, the hours in which it seems as if the young man or maiden were burdened with all the sorrows of the world, when presentiments of a deep seriousness come over them, are not altogether without reason. Also, their frequent feeling of not being understood has in reality much truth in it. It arises from their occasional recognition of how wrong is the world around them, a world which cannot and will not understand the sacred wish of their soul to soar on high, a world which is not satisfied until these strongly warning intuitions in the maturing soul are dragged down to a level people can stand. Thus, something more real, or matter of fact, which they consider better suited to man, and with their one-sided intellectual mind, the only normal state of affairs. In spite of this, there are many out-and-out materialists who, during this period of their lives, have inwardly felt these same serious warnings, and who now and then enjoy speaking of the golden days of their first love with a slight tinge of sentiment, even melancholy, thus unconsciously expressing a certain sadness at having lost something they cannot define more closely. And indeed, they are all correct in this respect. The most precious thing has been taken away from them. or they themselves carelessly threw it away. When, in the dull routine of everyday work, or under the ridicule of their so-called men and women friends, or again, by reading bad books, or through bad examples, they faint-heartedly bury the treasure, and still its radiance shines forth from time to time during their further life, and for a moment makes their disappointed heart beat faster, oppressed and bewildered by an inexplicable feeling of sadness and longing. Even if these intuitive feelings are always quickly pushed away and laughed at in bitter self-contempt, they still bear witness to the existence of this treasure. Fortunately, there are but few who can assert that they never had such feelings. Such men would indeed only evoke pity, for they have never really lived. But even such depraved ones, or let us rather call them pitiable ones, intuitively sense a longing when they have an opportunity to meet a person who makes use of this energy with the right attitude, through which he has become pure and already attained an inner maturity on earth. The first effect of such a longing in these people is in most cases the involuntary recognition of their own baseness and negligence, which then turns into hatred and may culminate in blind rage. It often happens that a man whose soul has attained to an exceptionally high degree of maturity attracts the hatred of the masses without himself having given them any outwardly visible cause. Such masses know nothing better than to cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" This is the reason for the long series of martyrs in the history of mankind. The real cause is their violent grief at seeing something precious in others which they themselves have lost, a grief which they feel only as hatred. When people who have more inner warmth and who have been kept down or dragged in the mud only by the bad examples of others meet a person of high inner maturity, the longing for something they have not attained themselves will often call forth an unbounded love and veneration. Wherever such a man goes, there will always be a for and against, but indifference towards him is impossible. The mysterious radiating charm of an unsullied youth, maiden or youth, is nothing but the pure upsurge of the awakening generative power, which, united with spiritual power, strives for what is highest and noblest, and is sensed by their environment through the strong vibrations emanating from it. With careful forethought, the Creator provided that this awakening should come at an age when man can be fully aware of his volition and actions. This is the time when, in conjunction with the full power now resting in him, he can and should easily shake off all that lies in the past. It will even fall away of itself if man keeps his volition only for the good, which is being unceasingly urged to do during this time. Then, as the intuitions quite rightly intimate, he could rise without any effort to that level to which he as a human being belongs. Behold the dreaming of unsullied youth. It is but the perception of this upsurge, the wish to be free from all baseness, the ardent longing for the ideal, Their uneasy restlessness, however, is the signal not to waste time, but energetically to cast off their karma and start on their spiritual ascent. That is why the earth is the great turning point for mankind. End of quote. You're just listening to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be obtained on Grail Land, Ijaw Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to a public lecture. Date, Sunday, 30th of August, 2015. Venue, Grail Information Center, 33 Egbeyemi Street, Ilupeju, Lagos. Topic, in this troubled time, the help of God reaches out. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-80298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. We have some text messages here. Somebody asks, is there truly a burning fire in hell? Alright, now truly hell exists. But the burning fire is also a kind of allegory or a pictorial rendition. It only represents the level of serious torment souls undergo in such regions. The torment is so serious, so heavy, that it is like the torment of somebody that is put in fire. So that is why it is described in that fashion. But you know that this hell itself is not what the Almighty created, but it is what some human beings have created when we started to disobey the Almighty Creator. So that's that. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Isaac is calling from Abuja. Hello, Isaac.
Hello.
Yes, you are on. Sorry, the line went off. Isaac, you try and call back. Telephone numbers again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. Okay, another question. Can God speak to man directly? No, it is not possible. you know that it has been written, no man shall see God and shall exist. Because the power of the Almighty is so enormous that the human spirit cannot bear it. But the Almighty Creator speaks to man in two ways, through his creation and also through his word of truth, which is sent through his messengers. So in this way, he speaks to man. The human spirit is given the opportunity to constantly experience the laws of the Almighty Creator in creation. Man being a creature in this creation, he has the opportunity to observe the way these laws manifest. But in order for him to also see it properly, the Almighty sends messengers, teachers, to teach man the will of the Almighty Creator. So that is how the Creator speaks to man. Another question: did Moses see God or his back? It is absolutely possible for any man to see the Almighty. Even the archangels in the divine kingdom cannot behold his countenance. When the Creator wants to manifest, he has to put on a cloak. So, for example, when our Lord Jesus Christ came, he had to put on a cloak so that he can manifest as a man here on earth. Okay, somebody asked, what is the meaning of the outborn son of God? Okay, we'll answer that question after taking this call. Jerry is calling from Suru. Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Yes, go on with your question.
Yeah, what I want to see is that if somebody dies now, and maybe he's an ambassador later, before he died, facing the eternal school, he now saw a day, now after Jesus Christ, and later died, did the person go to hell or heaven? I don't know.
If you confess at the last time that he believed Jesus Christ is the Savior, that one will not stop him from going to where he has already created for himself. See, journey into the beyond is not a train journey that you can buy the ticket at the last moment. It is something you prepare even since the time you are born. So if somebody has been doing evil all along his hard life, and at the point of death he now say he confessed that Jesus Christ is the Savior, he's only deceiving himself. What is making him to do that confession in the first place is the fear of what he is to expect in the beyond. So unless somebody actually truly changes inwardly for the better and wants to find the right way, that is a genuine one. Not because death is near and is fearing and he says he now confesses. So we already prepare for ourselves where we are going to be when we leave the flesh. Every moment we are making that preparation. Every time we think, every time we talk, every time we act, we are already making the preparation, because all these things we are doing is recorded. It's like a seed in a garden. And it must, at the ripeness of time, grow and mature and bring harvest. At the same time, it is also making the soul within man to acquire that quality that will determine where it will be when it leaves the flesh. So if he's doing evil, every time he does that which is evil, he attracts from out of the material world dark ethereal substance which now envelops his soul, making the soul to become dark and heavy. When such a man leaves the flesh, because of the denseness of his ethereal body, it must sink to those dark planes in the ethereal world. And conversely, somebody that is always doing good, it will also attract from out of the material world light, fine ethereal cloak, which will envelop his soul. and so that when he also drops the flesh, he will find himself in the light regions of the beyond. See, so this is how the law of spiritual gravity works. And it is up to us to act accordingly. Okay. Kalu is calling from Ikeja. Hello, Kalu. Hello, Kalu. Are you there, Kalu? All right. Hello.
Yeah. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Kalu is on line. You are on.
Yes. I'm always listening to your program.
Okay.
I like the way you preach it. I always tell my friend to listen to you by 10 o'clock on Sundays like this.
Okay.
Yes. Question that bothers me a lot.
Yes.
Even this question has made me to separate from my wife. You must be thankful to. For the past few years now, we are not living together. I am no longer living with him. In some churches today, the pastor will tell you that God said, that God told him to tell you. Or immediately he step into some of the churches, the new churches today, they will tell you what has happened to you, that God told them to tell you. My question is this. Is it possible for the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, to speak to any individual? Thank you very much.
All right. You just answered that question. I was asking whether it's possible for the Almighty Creator to speak to any individual. The Almighty does not speak directly to man. But this is the way one can also sense the will of the Almighty. You know, for example, that there is nobody that is on earth today that does not have a helper, a spiritual helper. And this spiritual helper was himself once a human being here on earth, who has gone through the same experiences, failures, and so on, but who, on passing to the beyond, has come to the recognition of his error or errors, and then who now wishes to help others. And such a person will now be attached to a human being that has a similar characteristics. So this helper usually stands half a step higher than the one is permitted to help. He connects himself to the one is to help. And the way you can hear or his admonition is through your intuition. So when you are intuitively sensitive or something happens to you, whether it's joy or happiness, he senses it. The thread connecting you and him together becomes taut. He will now know that you need something, or you are happy about something, or you are sad about something. And through his own experience, he can guide you. Usually the guidance comes by admonition. It can come through your conscience. It can come through dreams. Tell you what to do. Unfortunately, most times we don't listen. And we go and make the same error which he himself made while he was on earth, and which makes him to become sad. But it will also fortify him never to fail in that same manner. So the helper is there. Anything that will come to man, it will only come through that helper. He himself, this helper, has his own helper who stands half a step higher than him. And that helper also has his own helper. And so it goes on and on all the way to the spiritual realm. If anything is to come to man, it must come through this chain. And so sometimes a revelation can be revealed to man, it must come through this chain. And if we are alert and listen inwardly, we will avoid more than half of the problems that beset us. And at the same time, we should not always just take what somebody says. Sometimes somebody you think who is a seer and so on, you start saying something to mislead you. You yourself weigh everything with your intuition. Weigh it with your inner voice, whether what you are hearing is the truth or not. All of us have been given that ability to recognize it. When we left paradise a long time ago, a spark of truth was sunk into our soul. This spark of truth, if we have not buried it through evil and superficiality and vices, we will always recognize the truth anytime we come across it. Anytime we hear it, we will know it. Anytime somebody tells us what is truth, we will also recognize it. So, in your own case, to your question, it is your sense and weigh everything you are told, and then you should act accordingly. Okay, another caller here. Somebody was asking that what is the meaning of the outborn Son of God? You know, in the scriptures, we are told about the Holy Trinity, that is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the will of God. His name is Emmanuel. He is the outborn Son of God. The reason why he's called outborn Son is that he is the first to step out of the divine plane of radiation. The divine kingdom is the abode. This divine kingdom does not belong to creation. It stands above creation. And the divine kingdom has been in existence from eternity. It has no beginning, it has no end. But creation had a beginning. When the Almighty said, "Let there be light," it meant let light go beyond the boundary of the divine kingdom. And the one that carried out that fiat was Emmanuel. He was the first out of the divine plane of radiation and to step into creation. That is why he is called the outborn Son of God. That is, that Son through whom man came into existence, also called Son of Man. Maxwell is calling from Abuja. Hello, Maxwell.
Hello, Doctor.
Yes, good evening, Maxwell.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question.
Please go on.
About the natural law.
Alright.
Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap.
Yes.
So, whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap.
Yes.
So, my question is, now, where does the forgiveness of man come from?
Okay.
Is there any forgiveness?
Alright, forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Unfortunately, the way we look at forgiveness is that we just pray that, "Lord, forgive me," and then the Lord arbitrarily we just all our debt. No. Forgiveness lies in justice. Forgiveness is not arbitrary. It lies within the law. So, for example, when you say what you sow is what you reap, it is the outcome of the law of sowing and reaping. All right. Sorry, another caller is here. This is Allen from... Allen is all calling. Okay. Yes, go on, please. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, go on, please.
Hello.
Go on with your question.
Hello, good evening, Doctor.
Good evening.
Hello.
Go on with your question.
Okay. Well, I can't hear you. Are you hearing me, Doctor?
You can hear you. Go on.
Okay, good. My name is Alan, not Allen. Alan. From E4.
Okay, all right. Go on, please.
I heard you saying that God does not speak to human beings. But the Bible tells us that when Adam made the first mistake, suddenly God called him and he was hiding himself. He said he was afraid because he was naked. Was that called to somebody else or through directly of God to Adam.
All right, now.
That is one. So okay. You see, too, that Moses, which we call Musa in the Islamic kingdom, did Moses hear God directly? Or somebody was speaking to Moses?
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, when you talk about Adam and Eve's story, is also a pictorial rendition of a happening. That story is a composite story. It tells so many things inside it. It is couched in such a way that the human beings could understand. It was given at that time when man was still in his spiritual infancy, so as to understand the coming into being of man and how the fall of man and so on. It was not, you should not take it in the literal sense. Surely you must know that the Bible and also the scriptures are spiritual books. Therefore, you must learn to understand them in the spiritual sense. It is not that the power of the Creator is so enormous that the position of man in creation? Man is the smallest, the furthest from the radiation of the Almighty Creator. You cannot even bear the radiation in paradise. That was why he was permitted to come to the cooler regions of this material world for development. Whereas there are also other human beings who have sufficient strength and they are in paradise and they are developing in paradise. And above these ones, there are also human spirits or spiritual beings who are far, far higher. So when it was said that man was made in the image of God, it is not the human being that is being referred to here, but the primordial beings, they live far, far, far above. So it is not possible for the Almighty. He has angels, he has servants, innumerable, through whom he speaks to man. So also when he spoke to Moses, it's not that he spoke directly, through his angel, he spoke to Moses. All right, Igwe is calling from Olambe.
Yeah, doctor.
Yes, good evening. Sir. Good evening.
You talked about Emmanuel. And I want to know the difference between Emmanuel and Jesus. I just want to know, because we've been talking about Emmanuel. I don't know the difference about Emmanuel and Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, Emmanuel is the will of God, is the Holy Spirit, is the outborn Son of God, is the justice of the Almighty, is the cause of Christ promised to sin. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ explained in so many ways. So, is the third part of that Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Emmanuel. The thing is that because we lack recognition, we are calling Jesus Christ also Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is the inborn Son of God. Inborn Son means that Son that has his kingdom in the divine realm. That was why Jesus Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom is in the divine. But the outborn Son, Emmanuel, is the King of creation. And this is Emmanuel that is referred to as the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The first to step out of the divine plane of radiation and into creation, and the last, should creation fall into ruin, he will be the last to remain and return to the divine plane of radiation. Eis is calling from Igodo. Hello, Eis.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Hello, sir.
Good evening. All right.
Sir, I want to know what the Bible mean by fornication, the word fornication. Because I suppose that general thing that the man does outside the body, but he that fornicates thing against somebody. I want to know what the meaning of fornication. What the meaning of fornication?
All right. It simply means to have improper sexual relationship. That's the meaning of fornication. You know that in the Ten Commandments, there is the sixth commandment that says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, this sixth commandment is through the knowledge given to man in the great message, we now know what it actually means. Committing adultery means thou shalt not break the peace of a marriage. But there is also a ninth commandment. Ninth commandment that says that thou shalt not thou shalt not do things that is against the laws. That is, when you're talking about the ninth commandment, it's talking about not to have any improper sexual intercourse, not to sin against the other man through his sexual behavior and so on like that. So that is the ninth commandment, as it's different from the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment is talking about do not break the peace of a marriage. That is why there are two, and yet they are not the same. Okay, Glory is calling from Igodo. Hello, Glory.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello,
good evening. Yeah, good evening. You are on.
Yes. So I want to know the message. If we can see, come across the message in the Quran. That's my first question. And the second one is, why is it that the message here we have the cross with the circle, but in the Quran it's just the cross, there's no circle.
Okay, the mercy. Yes, there is mercy also. Message. Okay, how it will be in the beyond. Okay, whether the message will be in the beyond. Of course, the form in which the great message is here on earth is in this form, in the book form that is now available to us. In the beyond also, it has its own form, which conforms with the region of that beyond where one finds himself. And talking about the cross with the ring, the cross in a ring, the equal arm cross in a ring means, you know, that the cross stands for the truth. That's what the cross, the equal arm cross, stands for. When Jesus Christ came, he said, take up the truth and follow me, which means accept the truth and live accordingly. That cross was already, that form of truth was already known even before the Lord Jesus Christ came. It stands for the truth. So when that cross is in a ring, it means truth in creation. But when it is without a ring, it means the truth in its original form in the divine. Not in the beyond, but in the divine, which is above creation. The divine kingdom stands above the entire creation. So the form there is the cross without a ring. But inside creation, which comprises of the spiritual realm as well as the material realm, it is the cross in a ring. So let me just take the opportunity to finish that lecture, the question asked by Maxwell from Abuja concerning forgiveness. So forgiveness is not arbitrary. It stands in the law. When you do something that is wrong, then you receive the consequences. It is then that you are forgiven, provided, of course, you accept it as what is due to you. All right. Igwe is calling again from Aulambe. Hello.
Hello, doctor.
Yes.
I don't want to know. By the day, the world is coming to an end.
Yes.
Will this world expire that everyone will die? Or how is this world going to expire, end? I just want to know.
Well, when you say that the world will come to an end, yes, eventually it will. The material world is a transient world. It's just like a seed. Once it has reached its harvest time, it must the tree, after harvest, it must crumble to dust. So also is the material world. Only the spiritual world is eternal, but the material world has its time for expiring. But when it says the world is coming to an end, it has two parts. For example, now we stand in the judgment. With the judgment, all that will be eliminated in the material world, so that this material earth, for example, become lighter after the darkness in it has been taken away. So it will now rise to a region where you can see exist for another span. It is then that those who surmount the judgment will be given opportunity to experience the millennium. But even after the millennium, the material world will still must go into disintegration. Isaac is back from Abuja. Hello, Isaac.
Hello, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My question goes like this.
Please, can you lower the volume of your radio set?
Let me stay away from the radio.
Stay away. All right.
Can you hear me clear?
Yes. Oh, go on.
Okay, my question goes like this. Jesus Christ of Christian religion and Pope Muhammad of Islamic religion, is it one God that created them? That's my question, sir.
All right. There is only one God. There is only one creator. Only one. So it's not that there are two gods, but only one creator that is in existence. So it's not two, but one. Now when you talk about Jesus Christ and Prophet Muhammad, Jesus Christ and Prophet Muhammad, they are also, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Prophet Muhammad is a messenger sent by God to the people. Right. Okay, yes. Linus is calling from Abuja. Hello, Linus. Oh, Chris is calling from Abuja. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, sir. Hello.
Good evening.
Sir, I want to ask if there's anything like us.
Like what?
Half-caste.
Half-caste. Outcast.
Yes, outcast.
Well, you know, there are certain misconceptions in so many ways. But what I can tell you about caste is that there is a system of class separation in the material, which is also in line with the will of the Almighty. The classes are also established by the Lord. So the lower class, the middle class, and the upper class. But they should not be one above the other. They should stand side by side. There is a need for the classes. But each class can develop to its maximum maturity without any interference from another class. But they should be side by side, not one standing above the other. That is where we made it wrong. And that is where things about outcast and so on came to be. Right, we are coming to the end of today's transmission. Let us remind our listeners, public lectures coming up Sunday, 30th of August, 2015, venue of lecture, Grail Information Center, 33 Egbeyemi Street, Ilupeju, Lagos. In this troubled time, the help of God reaches out. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you will be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, for those who may still wish to interact with us after this program, our website is www.truthofliferadio.com. Email info@truthofliferadio.com. Telephone numbers 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have framed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Great Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I'm Dr. Tunde Agbola, wishing you good evening.